And it's time to talk about the history between the Browns and their upcoming opponent. That opponent is the Broncos. And with us now is Steve King, our resident historian. And Steve, we really know where to target the history between these clubs. Let's go back to the mid-80s, specifically to the 1986 and 1987 AFC Championship games and those very painful memories from the drive and the fumble.
You had to say that, didn't you?
I'm sorry. That's what it says here on the script. No, but yeah, I know. Just bringing them up is so hard for a lot of Browns fans to just fathom to this day.
A couple of things, and we'll try to run through them quickly. If you talk to the Hanford Dixons and the Frank Minifields and the Bernie Kosars and the players who played on those 86 and 87 teams that lost in such devastating fashion, came back in 89 and lost again to the Broncos.
Right.
One of the things they point out, and it's one of the things you don't really think about off the top of your head, is how it kept some of those guys possibly out of the Hall of Fame, because you never had that advancement to the Super Bowl where you're on the biggest stage in the world and everyone gets to see your skills. You were kind of on that second tier, and it kept maybe some guys out of the Hall of Fame and kept them into the Hall of the Very Good.
Yeah, that's a great point, because Hall of Fame assessment and being on that, having served on that committee, I know that championships or being involved in them or contributing to them is a big part of it. It's not necessarily a mandatory credential, but as you say, it's a fair argument that some guys who excelled for this team just below that Super Bowl level are maybe overlooked.
Yeah, and it's a real shame because I think some of those guys are deserving. And you look back, another thing, Vic, you look back at the devastating aspect of the 86 game, having the game won and losing it. In 87, going in for the tying touchdown, and Urs Meyer, coughs off the ball at the 3-yard line. I'm really amazed, looking back at that they were able to recover from back-to-back really kicks to the gut,
yeah,
and able to come back 2 years later and get back to the AFC Championship game. That said a lot about how tough those guys were and how gritty they were. The fact that they didn't win a championship, I think, to everyone who was a fan, everyone who played on those teams, I think all these years later, it's still something that they think about. And if you talk, again, to those players, do you ever think about those games? And they'll look you right now, and they'll get emotional, and
sure,
they will say, only every day of my life.
Yeah, and the fact, too, that the stages changed, the first one being here, and as you say, I think that first one would have to – they're both devastating of the back-to-backs, but the first one being played in Cleveland and where you don't expect the opposing quarterback, in this case John Elway, who's now the Broncos team president, leading the team as far as he did and doing it, under those conditions where the crowd noise and everything is supposed to be in the favor of the home team.
Yeah, and in the 86 game, they had the game won. Brian Brennan, who, came this close to being the forever hero, the guy that caught the winning touchdown pass to get the Browns into that first elusive Super Bowl berth. They go ahead 20-13 on that catch, and they fumble the ensuing kickoff. The Broncos doing a stumble around there at the 2-yard line. Now, Vic, at that moment, John Elway has to drive 98 yards into the dog pound, and to tie the game and then win it in overtime. At that moment, hey, I'm taking my wallet out. Here's the deed to my house. I'm in. This isn't happening. I'm betting everything I got. And the fact that he did it was just, to his credit, incredible. But you look at the drive, and there was, to show you that maybe just things weren't meant to be, there was a play on there, a third down play. And because of the noise of the crowd, they were going out of a silent snap count. Well, Blaine Bishop, the center, got mixed up on the snap count on a third down play and snapped the ball to Elway in the gun right as Steve Sewell, the running back, was going in motion from right to left. The ball hit Steve Sewell in the leg, and that old stadium turf, you never got a true bounce. That ball bounced up to John Elway like a one-hop grounder on a beautiful summer day. He stood in the pocket and boom, threw for the first down. And it's things like that when I say it wasn't meant to be, maybe it wasn't meant to be, and I don't want to get too off the beaten path and deal in a little bit of imagery, but you look back on that and you just kind of shake your head. It's things happen that you wonder why they happen. I guess we'll never know.
And I recall some questions about the defense, how it was played in that on that final drive, the kind of the adjustments and changes there that were allowing and opening things up. And let's give the Broncos team credit for making the plays they made, but second guessing, of course, on some of the coverages that were that the Browns were playing, right?
Yeah, it was, you go into really was, and I hate to say this, I have tremendous respect for Dave Adolph, the defensive coordinator, and Marty Schottenheimer, the head coach, but you go into a prevent defense thinking that this young Elway is not going to be able to make all those throws down the field, and he did. He came of age that day. And a lot of times, as they say about the prevent, it prevents you from winning, right. And it certainly did that day.
And then Rich Carlos's kick in the field goal, there was some question as to whether that winning kick actually went through the
And you look at the picture that was in Sports Illustrated, and you really wonder. But the interesting thing about Rick Carlos was from Salem, Ohio.
Right.
Salem was a Salem Quaker. And he said after that game, when he kicked that field goal, there was this flush of joy that they had won the game. And then he thought, I have just broken the hearts of everybody in the entire area in which I grew up. And he said, really, it was bittersweet because he knew how devastating that would be to all his friends and family back home in Salem, Ohio.
And I talked with him about that for a piece I did years later. He said to this day, people don't forgive him for doing that. He said he still had people giving him the proverbial crap for doing that.
Was the kick good? I mean, you have to ask him that.
Yeah, I don't think he had any doubt in his mind. Steve, that was great. Appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you again, my friend.
Always my pleasure.
All right. He is Steve King, our resident historian, helping us talk about the history between the Browns and the upcoming opponent that would be the Broncos. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.